Tonight, I'd like to invite you back over to the book of Genesis, chapter 46, verse 1. Genesis 46, verse 1. Genesis chapter 46, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we just ask that you bless each one. Lord, bless your church. Bless those who are unable to be here tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would build your church and that you would empower us to be found faithful, to rest upon you and to trust in you, to fulfill your will in our lives. And Lord, that we might understand that to a greater degree tonight. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "The Cause of Worship." What causes a believer to worship the Lord? Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? All right, so as we consider our text tonight, we want to remember that God is the same. And we're going to see what brought Jacob or Israel to this place of worshiping the Lord. And really, they're just these individual thoughts as I was looking at this portion of Scripture. And first of all, we find a journey of hope. Then we see God's direct communication. And these things bring us to the place of worship. When God meets with us and we are in his presence, he brings his peace, he brings his love, he brings his grace. It's a good place to be when we're in the very presence of the Lord. It's when we feel that absence that maybe we get a little bit afraid. Maybe we have these ideas in our mind. If we think of the disciples, I think they felt alone when they were in the midst of a storm. Even though the Lord was right there with them, they were fearful, were they not? That can happen to you and I. And the Lord was in the boat with them, and the Lord holds us in his hands tonight. And sometimes we still can feel fearful, or we can have our life disturbed, where we're uncertain of things. And you know, the Lord gave us these emotions. So these things in and of themselves, they're not wrong. Sometimes believers think this: well, if I'm saved, if I'm really a child of God, then I shouldn't feel this way or that way. Have you ever, you don't have to answer that, but have you ever thought that? Lord, this, I shouldn't be doing these things. You tell me where in the Bible it says that. Paul, I'm reminded, despaired even of life because of the different trials that had entered into his life. Remember, he prayed for the Lord three times to remove the thorn in the flesh, and then it was there that he learned that in his weakness that Christ was made strong in his life. But it was the Lord that brought him to these places. And likewise also, it will be the Lord that will bring us to this place of worship. So let's consider this journey of hope. Remember where we were at this morning as we were considering what the Lord was doing in the life of Israel and his children? He had just caught wind that he just got the good news that his son Joseph was still alive. And he did he believe it at the very beginning? No, he paused, didn't he? He hesitated a little bit until the Bible tells us he saw the wagons that Joseph sent. He saw these Egyptian wagons that he knew came from Egypt, that he knew had to be given by a command. But listen, not only was his son alive, but he was the second to Pharaoh. And he was, it's something when you know somebody, but when you know somebody who can be a benefit and a blessing to you, it makes it just that extra special. You know, it's an extra icing on the cake. And so here, as we consider, Israel is receiving this good news. And so now he's going to take a journey to fulfill what he's been called to do, and that is to go to Egypt. And so this is a journey of hope. What hope was that? Well, he's going to see his son, who he thought was dead. He's going to have provisions not only for his own life, but also sustenance for his whole family. And there were 75 souls that went out of Canaan there to go into Egypt. And so this was a good thing. And so here they are. They're getting ready. In fact, there were 70 souls anyway that were going to Egypt. And look at verse 1. "And Israel took his journey with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac." So is this a happy occasion in the life of Jacob? Yeah, there's a happy occasion. So God wants to bring that kind of joy into our lives every day. For you and I, fathom this thought. Listen,
Have you ever taken a vacation somewhere that you couldn't wait for, that you were looking forward to? I told you some time ago, I'm sure I've mentioned it more than once, we were coming back from Guatemala. We had gone through this whole process with Josiah, and then I get a phone call. I wasn't planning on this, but I get a phone call, and I was told that from Florida that this church member, so it was a grandmother, bought her grandson a ticket to Israel, and he didn't want to go, and she wasn't going to go. And so I'm hearing this, right? And so she said, if you happen to know somebody that could use it, give it to them. I'm listening to this, right? Well, why would he be asking me this? And so he said, if you can manage to muster up a flight from Kentucky to New York, meet us there, you can have that fare and all the expenses are paid. And I told you the story. I had to pray about it, right? So I said, let me pray about it. The Lord said, okay. And that's about as long as I waited. I had never been to Israel, but I was excited about going to Israel. So do you think making the preparations were a labor for me? So I got to make all these little preparations. You think I was a little bit excited about making a reservation to fly to New York and then from there? And so I was looking forward to all of those things and to see where the Lord had walked, to see where the Lord had performed many of the works through his people that he had done. And so I was a little bit excited about seeing those places and those things that I was yet to learn about and yet to see. But wait a minute, listen, you and I are also taking a trip that will far surpass, in fact, may I say, that will blow away anything we can ever experience on this side of eternity, and that is that we're going to be taken into the kingdom of heaven one day. And so for you and I, really, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And so here's Jacob. He's excited about this trip because he's going to see his son. You and I are going to see the Son of God one day and all of our loved ones that have gone on before us. And so that's a great expectation. And listen, is that the truth tonight? How do you know that? The Lord confirms that, just like he does your salvation. And so we've never been there, and yet we know it's true. See, this is what boggles the mind of the lost person. How do I know that the Lord saved my soul? Well, it's personal with me. God, listen, I was blind, but God revealed that truth to where I now understand it, and I am as sure of it as I can be as sure as anything else. And that will never change, and I thank the Lord for that. Sometimes, though, I can be distracted, and sometimes I can be overwhelmed, and I can forget about my future that's not here yet. But it's a bright one in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be bright, and it's going to be glorious, and it's going to be something else to behold. And we ought to be excited about it by faith as we listen to what God is saying. By the way, listen, read the book of Revelation. There's so many symbols in there. Well, don't just read through the symbols, but listen to what is taking place in heaven. Listen to the worship. Listen to the 24 elders that are falling before the throne of God. Listen to the creatures that God has that are crying, "Holy, holy, holy is God Almighty." And what a place that's going to be that we know by faith is going to take place. Now, what is it? When I say that by faith, it's not that kind of a faith that's an invisible faith. It's a faith that God has established in us through salvation. We've never seen it. We really don't know what it's going to be like, but we're going to be there forever. We're never going to die. There will be no more tears. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more death. My goodness. Is the best yet to come for you and I? Boy, we can just thank the Lord. That's worship. We can thank the Lord for what he has in store for us. Boy, aren't you glad that you have eternal hope? The world doesn't have that. God wants them to have that. God's not willing that any should perish, but that they should have that. And so thank the Lord that we as believers have that. So here he is. He's offering sacrifice. And then look at verse 2. We find God's direct communication as he's doing this. God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And then notice, and he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. So we find God gives a direct communication. Has God ever spoken to you and comforted you through his word as you would read it? Have you ever found stability in there? That's God talking to you. What did you do? You why did you go to him? Because you know, first of all, by experience, that he is a merciful God. And you also know that he is a loving God. And he is a kind, compassionate God. And so that brings us to come to him, and he wants to meet us there. That's building. Listen, why was he doing that? Didn't Jacob already say when he saw the wagons, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he say, it's enough? Didn't he say, enough? I know now that my son Joseph is alive. I've seen all I needed to see. Did God stop there? No. He meets him anyway. And he says, I want you to know it's okay for you to go where you're going, into Egypt. Listen, I don't really think Jacob needed a whole lot of encouragement. Maybe he did. I don't know. He is leaving. Now, you got to remember this. Joseph is asking him to come down there. He wants to see his son. There is a famine in the land, but isn't it good for God's confirmation? You are going in the right direction. Do you know that God wants to confirm that you and I are moving in the right direction? Do you know that as we draw near to the Lord is going to draw near to us, and he is going to confirm that we are moving in the right direction? There is never really a good cause. We can be fearful, but there is never a good cause to give everything to God. In other words, Lord, what do I mean by giving? I trust you with everything. Did Jacob do that? He was getting ready to leave his home. He was getting ready to go live in a land. He was getting ready to go die in a land that he probably never made plans for. But yet God was in on it. He was blessing him with another opportunity to experience Joseph. Isn't that amazing? For another 17 years. And he said, when he got there, he said, okay, I'm ready to go home now. I'm ready. Everything is good now. And God gave him another 17 years to enjoy with his whole family all together. And boy, there's a reunion day on the horizon for every child of God. And we'll look forward to that as well. So here's God's promise in verses 3 and 4 of his protection. God's communicating with him. Verse 3 again, he says, and he said, I am God. The God of thy father, fear not to go down to Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt. I will go down with thee into Egypt. Isn't that good? I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to go with you. I like it when the Lord comes with us, don't you? No better place to be than with the Lord. And I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And so here we find God's promise of protection. I'm going to be right there with you. Listen, I'm reminded that the Christian walk is a battlefield, is it not? Talks about the whole armor of God. Talks about the wiles and the schemes of the devil. And talks about all the things that he's trying to do for us. But imagine, listen, so there you are in the dark with the armor of God. Can be still a little fearful, can it? I mean, you're getting ready to face the enemy in life. And it's dark out there. In the daytime, it's dark. In the nighttime, it's dark. The world is a dark place. It's always been dark, right? Because Satan is the prince and power of the air. And that would be one thing, to be out there. Well, you could take some confidence and say, well, I've got the armor of God on. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But then be reminded of this. The Lord stands beside you and says, I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, that makes it all, that's the icing on the cake, is it not? That is really what we need to understand. But God needs to keep that a reality in our hearts and minds, because sometimes do we not feel like we're by ourselves? Maybe we feel like, did I remember to put the whole armor on? Maybe I'm not ready for this battle. Well, praise the Lord, with God, we can be ready for anything. And so we thank the Lord for that. And then not only do we have God's promise of protection, but we have God's physical provisions. Look at verse 5. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. So this is God's provision here. These are physical provisions. He knew exactly what Jacob was going to need, and he knew exactly what his children were going to need as well. So here's this physical provision. Look, verse 6. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. But God provided all the provisions that were needed for them to have. God has also provided everything that you and I will need as well. And so these are the things that bring us to the place to say, what a great God we have. That's worship. What an amazing, merciful, loving Father that we have. Sometimes we need to be reminded about those things. Sometimes, you know, we can be in the middle of a trial and forget those things. Sometimes we can get caught up in a situation, but it's okay. It's all right when those things happen, but God brings us back. God reminds us who we are and where we're at and who walks with us every step of the way. And then lastly, I want you to see God's great fulfillment. And for that, I want you to drop down with me to verse 29. And here's this situation where in Genesis 46, verse 29, notice it says, "And Joseph made ready his chariot." This is now they're getting into Egypt. Joseph's coming out to see him and went to meet Israel. This is his dad, right? He's going to meet Jacob. And he went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. That's good. Isn't that good? A good while. Do you think they were in a hurry? Do you think they had any appointments on their schedule? They were enjoying this place, listen, that God brought them into. God prepared Joseph. God moved in all of this just for such a time as this right here, for the glory of God and for the blessing and fulfillment of his promise to his people. And so verse 30 says, "And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die." Remember, we talked about that. "Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive." He says, "I'm ready to go." But I want to remind you, he didn't die for another 17 years. He said, that's it. You know what he was saying? Just like he said, listen, stop and think about this. Back up with me here to chapter 45 just for a moment. And so they told him, look at verse 27, Genesis 45, verse 27. I want you to see this. "And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said," what? "I don't need any more. I don't need any more." And did God give him more? Yes, he did. And then he sees his son Joseph, and he says, "Okay, I can die now. I'm okay now." And God gave him another 17 years. So tonight, God reminds us, listen, he brings us to this understanding that brings us to see how good and how great and how wonderful and how loving our God is, where we can give him thanks. Lord, who am I that you have revealed this to me? I mean, who are we really? We're none famous here. And even if we were, we're still flesh and blood. We still get dressed the same way. You've heard that expression before. They get dressed the same way we do. There's nothing really special about anybody because they're here for a while and then they're gone. I told you this story. I got tickled when I heard it. Muhammad Ali, right? He always went around saying, what? "I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest." And then one day, he was still boxing at this time, but he was in an airplane. And this was back, do you remember they used to allow you to smoke cigarettes on airplanes? Today, people would fall out over that. But anyway, so he didn't make that big of a deal, you know, about wearing a seatbelt. So the stewardess comes by and calls him by name, says, Mr. Muhammad Ali, you know, you need to put your seatbelt on. And he says, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she said to him, Superman don't need no plane either. But you need one, amen? Sometimes we think more of ourselves than we ought to. You know what life is. You've heard it said before. There's a birth date. And then there's an end date. And all we are is that little dash in the middle. The Bible says we're just here for a short time. But praise be to our God who has given us a life. That line will never end in eternity. There'll be no end to that. There won't be, listen, there'll just be, I don't understand it really. There's just a day. There's no night there. There's just an eternal day. Fathom that thought. An eternal day that will never end. Have you ever had a day that you wished would never end? There's coming that day when we will be with those who we love and who love us in a perfect situation without sin that will never end. There will be the love of God. Listen to this. There will be the love of God because of the presence of the Lord. But not only that, but the love of God and the mind of God will be in us. Isn't that amazing? So tonight, God says, I am the cause for your joy. And I am the one that brings you to the place to understand. And that causes us to want to worship our great God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and the reminder that you give to us of how you do everything. You save us, Lord. You empower our lives. You bless us. And Lord, all we can do and all you've asked us to do is just to thank you, Lord, and to glorify you by your grace, Lord. And so tonight we ask your blessings on your people, on your church. Lord, may you be honored and glorified. May we understand you as you truly are. May we not be fearful, Lord, may we not get overwhelmed and distracted. May we seek you and be reminded of how much we need you to bring us to the place of truth, that we're not burdened down by all the things of this life that would distract us from you. Bless your people, Lord. Bless your church. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.